You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Celebrate Canada's 150th and treat yourself to a brand new Silverado. 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles right now at Lakewood Chev.
We discuss all things analytics as Corey Schneider joins us. You can follow him on Twitter at ShutdownLine and, of course, the EnergyLine.wordpress.com. Corey, welcome to the show. And you're a guy who's been doing this for quite some time. I think you started out just doing it specifically with the Carolina Hurricanes and then branched off to other parts. I guess the first question, what got you so interested in it? And for a lot of people who have a big belief in analytics, how'd you get started?
Well, I just really wanted to learn more about the game and just study the game closer. And I was reading some posts by Eric Tolsky, who works for the Hurricanes now, and he was doing some studies on zone entries. And there's a lot of really interesting information coming out from those about what exactly teams and players are doing to win the shot battle and which leads to them outscoring their opponents. And I did it during the lockout shortened season because there wasn't much to do during the winter then, and it kind of just took off after that.
You know, you did a lot of work, I believe it was 2013, 2014, about that zone entries. Maybe talk to us about the process and how you accumulate all the info to just kind of first get a night, wrap your head around what zone entries are, how they look, and what they end up being.
Well, basically, I just watch the games on Game Center or NHL TV. I have a spreadsheet open in the negative spaces on the screen so I don't have to go back and forth a lot. And I record which player crosses the blue line, how they did it, whether it was by carrying the puck in or dumping the puck in. And as time went on, I've added some more stuff into it, like the area on the ice, like left, center, right, whether or not a dump in was recovered, who was defending the zone entry at the time. And there's a lot of information we can really look into through this now with all the additions that we've made over time.
So since you've started and now it's evolved, has your perception of any player or anything you are covering changed?
A little bit. Like when Eric presented his study on zone entries at the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, the main takeaway from that was entries done by carrying the puck in lead to twice as many shots as opposed to dump ins. So the main takeaway from that was that you want to carry the puck in more often. And when I did the 2013-14 project, there was only maybe three or four teams that could carry the puck in on more than 50% of their entries. And a lot of teams were just kind of in the middle. And lately, or last summer, actually, Ryan Stimson, who writes for Hockey Graphs, did a great post on looking at my 2013 data along with some of his stuff from his passing project. And he saw that zone entries with passing plays lead to higher percentage shots or shots of a higher percentage than just carrying the puck in and wasting a shot by just taking a shot or losing the puck.
Mm-hmm. So how does it work with when let's say player X is approaching the line and he's denied entry? Is that considered a turnover or a failed attempt to get in? Because not every time can you gain the line.
That's considered a failed entry. It's something that Eric looked at in his initial study, and there wasn't a lot that he found out with those kinds of events because they happen so rarely.
Okay.
And there wasn't a lot of meaningful information there, but it's always a risk that coaches are afraid of, though. They don't want turnovers ever.
Right. So you're saying that it's a rare occurrence for a player to be carrying the puck out the ice and be denied the blue line. So is that when he does it himself, or if a D-man does a good job in stopping him up, let's say, and stops him at the blue line or just inside the blue line and gets a turnover?
That's when he is stopped at the blue line. It's when he's stopped at the blue line or he is prevented from basically doing anything after carrying the puck in.
Corey Schneider joined us from the Energy Line. Now, Corey, zone exits, right? It's a lot of things that people talk about with defensemen. And so, you know, you watch the games. And I would track it, obviously, not 100%, but I've gotten more into it the last few years. And I look at zone entries, and then I go back and see what people were tracking. And a lot of times, if you have a zone exit and the wingers don't give you an outlet, right, sometimes the guy has no choice but to just throw it off the boards to get it out of the zone because coaches don't want them. Some guys will double back, but if they're under pressure, it's either get it out, and it's always safer in the neutral zone than it is trying to make a play. So is that – in a play like that, when they're pressured, have you advanced it now where you talk zone exit, under pressure, zone exit, no pressure? Like, if nobody's on the guy, is that even marked as a zone exit? Or because there's no one around him, you just expect him to carry it up the ice?
Yeah, that is something I actually added this year, zone exits under pressure.
Okay.
Like, if there's a player within a couple of strides of the guy making a zone exit, then that's marked as a pressured exit attempt. It's something I haven't looked at in depth, but I'm waiting until I have a full season to look at it, or someone else can look at it to see what the difference is between bad and uncovered zone exits or ones without pressure. Because in theory, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense that there would be different results there.
So when you look at the zone exits, I mean, I feel it's one of the hardest things to do in the NHL is get back and retrieve it. I might be a little biased, obviously, Corey, but getting back and making that play is very difficult. What kind of trends do you see? Is it, you know, are there certain areas of ice where guys pass the puck to more successfully? Like, is the middle more open than the wall? Is it getting the puck to the other side away from pressure? Or what did you know, or what did you notice in what you did so far?
Well, with zone exits, what I noticed so far is that teams definitely go to the wall a lot more as opposed to going to the middle. Although I've noticed a bit of a change this year. I feel like teams are using the middle of the ice a lot more than they did a few years ago. And defensemen in general are just way more involved with the puck than they were a couple of years ago. Like, for me, that's the biggest change I've seen. Like, a couple of years ago when I did the 2013 project, there are a lot of defensemen who are kind of just in the middle when it came to getting the puck out of control, and there weren't many that entered the zone with control at all. Now you see a lot more up there, which is a little interesting.
You know, when I look at your talk about getting the puck up and it's going more up the wall, I feel like when we watch games, we see a lot more of players, and D-men specifically, instead of going tape to the winger's strong side, they're just throwing it over them. And then everyone just chases out. You have the centerman coming over, the far winger coming over. Is that a reasonable, something reasonable I'm suggesting you've seen as well in your research?
Yeah, but I haven't looked at it. I haven't looked at zone exits too closely, okay, like in terms of looking at how repeatable each event is, and what exactly it leads to in terms of shots and goals, and especially shots against. But it's something that I'm definitely going to be looking at after I get the season done.
Corey Schneider joins us. You've tracked a lot of things. You know, zone exits and entries are kind of your one thing. As you've focused on analytics the last few years, have you changed your opinion on one stat that maybe you were a really big fan of, and now, like anything, analytics has evolved from 5 or 6 years ago till now, where you're like, you know what, I used to think that was really important, but now I don't think it is?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me is how much players and teams are able to control what shot quality. I hate using that word because it kind of got thrown around. It's kind of gotten thrown around as a meme a lot. But for me, with the stuff Ryan Simpson's been doing with the passing project, that's definitely changed my opinion a lot on what kinds of shots teams and players can create, like shots that go over the shots that cross the middle of the ice, passes from behind the nets. Because those shots tend to lead to, or those passing plays tend to lead to more goals than just skating in and shooting it. Although I feel like the league's also kind of evolved in a way where teams that win on volume may not win as much as opposed to how they did a couple of years ago, because the league kind of catches up to everyone.
Yeah, it's always changing. That's the hard part. And just when you think it's settled into one area, it changes to another way. You know, and in the case I've made is I think it's actually getting harder to score one reason is the goalies are so big and they're so well coached and they're wearing armor across their whole body. But the other thing is the game's getting so fast. So there's really very little time out there. And so when you take a look at, you know, the project that Ryan's doing with the passing, I honestly think it's hard to create just by yourself without, you know, you got to make passes to get people moving and getting, you know, kind of create mistakes. Is that something that you might agree with as you look through your numbers?
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. Like, you need to confuse the goalies as much as possible, keep the defense on their toes. And it's harder to do now, and just because of how fast the game is, and just how little room there is in general in the offensive zone, because teams crowd the middle of the ice now, and it's pretty tough. But there are teams that can definitely exploit this.
You know, and to back it up to one more question here with that, Corey. You know what, I wonder if you watch a lot of games. You've watched, you know, thousands of games, and I believe that forwards are now crunching down in their own zone and playing it quite tight to protect the house. So, you know, what you're talking about, protecting the middle of the ice, there's no room to move. Do you think that a rule change, or not a rule change, but moving the blue line in closer and then make those wingers respect that shot more, would open up more ice in that down low area so we could try to get some more area to create something and get some more scoring?
I mean, it's possible, but the way I've seen it is a lot of teams adjust to the new rules pretty quickly, and they find a way to kind of suffocate the life out of most offense. So I have a feeling it would create a lot of buzz within the first couple of years, and then after that, I think coaches will figure it out pretty quickly, and we'll be back to kind of where we are now in terms of offense.
As a team, where do the Oilers rank in zone exits and entries compared to other teams?
Well, in terms of entries, they're pretty good, and it's led by Draisaitl and McDavid. They're two of the best players in the league at entering the zone with control, and they're also two of the best in the league at creating passes, which is really no slow passing plays off entries. Like, they're not just getting in and shooting it. And the rest of the forwards rank, they're kind of in the 50% range, which is pretty good. And as a team, they're about 50% of controlled entries, which is top 10 in the league. So they're pretty good in that regard. In terms of exits, they're also in that area. A lot of that is from Oscar Klefbom and Adam Larson, who have ranked pretty well. Also, Matt Benning and Andre Sekera are also up in the upper part of the league. So in terms of that, they were pretty good last season, at least in my data set.
Was there any player in your data, either a forward who surprised you at how well they were on zone entries, and then a defender who, you know, when we look at numbers, might not jump off, and then you say, wow, this guy's actually pretty good at zone exits? Was there one at either end of the spectrum?
Well, I just did a season. I just completed a few seasons, full seasons for a couple teams. And with the Rangers, one guy that really stood out to me was JT Miller with zone entries. He ranked really well in that. Mika Zibanejad also ranked way higher than I expected him to. Like, he was near the 70% range with entries. And defending zone entries, one guy that has a kind of interesting stats there is Josh Morrissey in Winnipeg. Because when I watch him, I'm always impressed. I feel like he plays really well when it comes to taking away space and denying shots. But he actually gives up the blue line a lot, but he doesn't allow many shots. And I feel like a lot of that is kind of a system thing in Winnipeg, because they collapse at the blue line a lot and kind of go from there. But he has some pretty interesting numbers there.
When you talk about JT Miller or Zibanejad and their ability to enter the zone, what should we look at next? What's the stat that's next to say what they do when they enter with that control?
So I feel like you can combine the stuff that I'm working on with Ryan's passing data, which I've been also tracking for this year as an addition. And you can look at who's creating passing plays off entries. You can look at who's creating dangerous passes that lead to dangerous shots, and just who's making the most out of their possessions, because that's ultimately what we're looking for.
And
when it comes to this.
And the juice is shots. That's does that entry, does that pass lead to a shot? Is that the result that is a I guess success?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was the original. The original theory was shots, or a shot that wasn't blocked. But as we've gone on, we've found ways to look at which passes or which entries lead to like higher quality shots or shots with a passing play, because those are more dangerous and more confusing for a goalie to track or a defense to follow than just a skate and shoot play.
Corey, I appreciate your time. Continued with all the hard work. It's a lot of stuff that you track. We appreciate it. That's Corey Snyder from the Shutdown Line, just at Shutdown Line on Twitter. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.